broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Man, we got so much to discuss, so little time. The first hour we had on Pete Sepp talking about absolute out-of-control taxation coming our way. You better have heads up on that, baby. We also talked about the increased food stamp program under Joe. Whacked out Joe single-handedly decides he's just going to increase SNAP. And I'm telling you, SNAP is going to be a snafu like it always is, ladies and gentlemen. That was our one of the broadcasts. Check it out. It'll be in archive form coming up soon. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word and share with your neighbor. It's absolutely live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, free. Spread the word. Now we're talking about the recap of yesterday's show, which I didn't have time to get to because Pete had an emergency appearance on the radio with us last hour. And I want to talk about the second hour of the broadcast with Dr. Scott Bradley in detail. To preserve the nation, his collegiate series and lifelong goal. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. And as you know, he mentioned that he got, what do they call it? Deplatformed, is that the word they're using these days? Yeah, poor old Scott Bradley got deplatformed, and so now over 1,000 videos got taken down. His website's a mess. He's hoping to get another platform, put it back up. But again, it's a whack-a-mole. It's a cat-and-mouse game going on in America today where everybody's just being deplatformed everywhere for everything. If you don't go along with the government regime story, then you're deemed an enemy, a misfit, an insurrectionist, a terrorist, whatever term. And Donald Trump kind of mentioned this was happening back in his day, but now it's getting worse. Anyway, our prayers are with Dr. Bradley that he can get his website back up, freedomsrisingsun.com. Get those videos back online. They're sorely needed. And he's also known for bringing about a weekly webinar, conversation and counsel and et cetera on the Constitution. Just a great job by the doctor. Scott Bradley doing a phenomenal job. He's been at it for decades, ladies and gentlemen. It is his lifelong mission. And man, he has fidelity to it. He's true blue, steady as a rock, constitutional as all get out. And he believes, as I do, that, you know what, there is no other way but restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. There is no other way but complete fidelity to the supreme law of the land. You say, Sam, the supreme law is not perfect. I know. I don't care. But there is no other plan. There is no better replacement. There is no time-tested solution that has history on its side of success like the supreme law of the land. There is no better balance of the proper role of government in American history or the history of the world that you can point to that would bring about more honorable liberty to the people than the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Anyway, I digress, except for Scott Bradley and I are absolutely unified on this idea that the only answer is restoration. We don't need to change. We don't need to replace. We don't need to come up with a new plan. We don't need all those things. What we need to do is have fidelity to a commitment to restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We need the principles that our founders established, that our founders so painstakingly sought for, researched, implemented. That is what we need today as we prepare for the Savior's return. It is about, ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution being the political religion of our nation. It is about the Constitution being the appropriate checks and balances, supreme law, to usher in the return of the Savior Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. It is a light on a hill. It should be. And we really pointed out with Dr. Bradley yesterday how far afield we have gone from that and how critical it is to return. Proof in point, we talked about the Forest Service in crisis mode. The U.S. Forest Service told the Associated Press that it's in crisis mode. With 21,000 federal firefighters over 14 regional states, over 100-plus wildfires right now. Wow. roughly 100 fires over 14 states right now. That number's staggering. But I don't hear a word about the local people dealing with it. I just hear government, Forest Service melting down. Why are we looking to a general Forest Service unconstitutional agency in government to solve the problem in the first place? Why don't we deal with it on the local level? It's local land, after all. Go read your Constitution. Why are we not turning to God Almighty in prayer and humble supplication that the fires can be put out, that rain can come to a drought-stricken nation? Why can't we focus on these things in a meaningful way? Why can't we, as Chronicles teaches us, turn to God and repent? Let him heal our land. Why not? See, I don't hear anybody talking about this except for us. According to the Forest Service, for example, they say the Dixie Fire, that's the California fire, in Northern California, which began a month ago, has already burned an area larger than, listen to this, 800 square miles, and they say it's only 31% contained to date. 800 square miles, 31% contained. Will there be an end to the fires? Outside, when you go outside in where I live now, it's just smoky everywhere. Some days are a little better than others, but it's just disaster. They say the smoke is a-coming this weekend. Don't worry, it won't last long, they claim. But I look at this and I go, when are we going to turn to God? Who's going to put out the clarion call to turn to God Almighty? Who's going to appeal to God and say, please help us put out these fires? Please help us with rain. Now they say it's the lowest humidity ever. Lightning strikes are imminent. Fires are likely. More where this came from. Doesn't it seem like an angry God? Angry with his citizenry for turning their backs on him? And you could say, Sam, this program just gets so religious so fast. I know it does, and it's got to. You say, Sam, but this isn't a, quote, Christian program. I don't know how you debate that. Who decides if it's a Christian program? See, if it's a nonprofit, if you can't run commercials, then they call it Christian programming. And if it's you can run commercials, then it's commercial, not Christian programming, right? They divide the Christian and the secular. I don't divide those two, ladies and gentlemen. This is a God-fearing, nationally syndicated radio program on the air to tell the tale of liberty, on the air to promote God, family, and country, on the air to protect life, liberty, and property. And you know what? I don't care if you call me nonprofit or for-profit or whatever else. I'm interested in the sacred cause to which we're engaged. I make my living and my profit on my business during the day. I don't make my money in radio. But I'm on the radio every day, day in and day out, 6 days a week, barring COVID, the Lord willing, because I care about this country and I want the next generations to have a better life than I had. That's what I want. I want the next generations to be in greater harmony with the teachings of Jesus Christ. I want the next generation to be in a better position when it comes to the proper role of limited constitutional government that understands its legitimate, limited, let me say that again, legitimate, limited role. I want to educate towards that. I want to encourage that. I want to make that popular, which is good and right and honorable and true and moral. That's who I am. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm all about. All right, so shame, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden remains silent as Taliban swarms Kabul. That's how it was yesterday or whatever. Now it turns out that he's like, I double down and take ownership of my efforts in abandoning this war. Now, don't get me wrong. I was never for the war in the first place. I think it's a shame how we're abandoning it. But I also think it's a shame that we're there. We should have never been there. So how we're pulling out is a big problem in my personal opinion. 20-year war. Now we're just basically, you know what, going belly up and running. I don't think that's good. But I also don't think it was good that we were there in the first place. But now the Taliban enters the presidential palace, declares victory as the Afghan president flees. Epic times with that peace. America's chaotic exit is Biden's big defeat, writes USA Today about it. Everybody's critical of Joe. And I say for good reason. sadly, legitimately so, right? But I don't want to just hand Joe this defeat. I want to hand the American people and a bipartisan coalition this defeat. We should have never been involved in these unjust wars in the first place, ladies and gentlemen. The problem isn't pulling out now. The problem is getting involved 20 years ago. The problem is trillions of dollars spent, loss of life everywhere, military-industrial complex ratcheting up the spending game, soldiers and on all sides in harm's way, women and children in harm's way, and death and destruction, all on this warlike people mentality we seem to have in America today. It's got to stop. We've got to turn our backs on that narrative and stand with the Prince of Peace and let the United States be a beacon on a hill under the Savior Jesus Christ as our banner. Anyway, we talked about this book with Dr. Scott Bradley called Decent Interval. It's an insider's account of Saigon's indecent and untold, it's Saigon and how they literally made a fiasco there, and they're going to make one here. Chief CIA analyst Frank Snepp is the one that wrote the book, In Decent Interval. We sure need a decent interval to stop war, that's for sure. We also talked about, well, I'll get into it. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. Hard-hitting talk on your radio, baby.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm talking about Kabul, and I'm talking about the fiasco in Afghanistan, ladies and gentlemen. The fiasco isn't pulling out and blaming it on Joe. The fiasco is getting into it in the first place. The fiasco is the dishonesty of an immoral war that we've started 20-plus years ago, and we could never win. It reminds me of Vietnam. A lot of people are saying there's no comparison, but I say there certainly is. 75, that's 1975 versus 2021, and I'm telling you right now, it is disaster. How are they the same? They're both unconstitutional wars. You say, wait a minute, we declared war now in Afghanistan, or in Vietnam. We declare, you know what? I don't want to hear it. We didn't properly declare war in any of these places. Okay, and that's the problem. We need to use the checks and balances of the Constitution. And if a war is legitimately just, we don't need a draft or anything else. We don't need conscription. We don't need force. Okay, and so this is a disaster. But let's not be ignorant enough just to blame it on Joe and act like it's all Joe's bag. And, man, the Democrats are going to eat it because the Republicans were right on this one. And da-da-da. Look, Republicans started this war. Democrats failed in the war. It's a bipartisan disaster. All right. But let me give you, in my opinion, kind of the problem here. Let me give you the problem kind of. How do I say this right? Wrapped up in a reality check for you, okay? The mainstream press is what lets you understand and or have a vision or a viewport, a porthole, so to speak, view on the wars. Because you're not over there internationally. You don't even know what's going on. What you have is this porthole of the mainstream government media telling you what to believe, what to think, how it is, etc. And they have lied to you for decades on this, from Vietnam right on through now. And you have never been given the realities of war. You've been given a sanitized war via movies, via video, via, you know, online presentation, all right? And you've been absolutely snookered and deceived, because if the American people understood the real rigors of war, the real penalties of war, the real suffering war creates wherever it's found, the American people would not stand for it and would not have been there for 20 plus years. Trust you me, write it down. Remember who told you. Okay, it's because we believe in a sanitized war, a war that's over there, not over here. Thank the heavens we're getting the bad guys over there so they never come over here. And we're getting this view. And let me give you the typifying point to illustrate how dishonest the narrative has been, how sanitized and manipulated and wrong-headed the narrative on the war has been. It can be wrapped up in one instance to make the point so poignant it'll shock you. There is a CNN's chief international correspondent. Her name is Clarissa Ward. She's an absolute liberal, psychotic nut on parade, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, this is just beyond the pale. So she's sitting there in Kabul or whatever, in Afghanistan. And she's the chief international CNN correspondent, mainstream press in America, right? She says they're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time, she says. Wait a minute. Did I just hear this right? This lady, this chief correspondent for CNN, wartime, sitting in a war zone right after we let the Taliban literally rush in a week and take over so shockingly fast that Biden was caught with his pants down to the point where it's just a disaster, and they say it'll be one of the greatest disasters in American history, right? And this lady, the CNN correspondent, is whacked out. Clarissa lady literally says they're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. Hey, Cameron, have you ever heard of somebody chanting death to you but remaining friendly? Is that something that's kind of a thing these days? So let me get this right. I don't want to have the government run out of control and have vote fraud, so I want to go to the Capitol and peacefully resolve that. And so I want to impress on my congressmen and senators, hey, you got to do what's right. You got to investigate this. You got to stand up. You got to be counted. You got to come on. And then they say, I'm an insurrectionist, I'm a terrorist, I'm extreme, I'm crazy. In fact, I'm out of control. But yet, at the same time, you're going to have this literal American CNN correspondent, Clarissa Ward, literally saying, hey, they're just chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. I mean, the idea, ladies and gentlemen, is so beyond the pale. And this is supposedly credibility from one of the greatest news organizations America's ever supposedly known, CNN. Now you say to me, Sam, they're not credible. You know they've been bogus for a long time. It's the Clinton News Network. It's the Communist News Network. It's whatever. You know CNN's bogus. It's just CNN. Fox is no different, ladies and gentlemen. Is Fox preaching God, family, and country, and let's get out of the war like I am? Or is Fox just like, oh, you know what? We report you decide lies. See, where do we go with this thing? But I look at this, and this Clarissa Ward, this chief correspondent, literally gives you this lens. That, hey, you know what? The Taliban, bunch of good guys. You know, I know they're chanting death to America, but they're doing so really friendly-like, and they're just like tambourines, death to America. And they're having a great time, and it's just, it's kind of like a kumbaya. We're all singing and loving on one another. It's just great. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has to send in massive troops again to try to secure the airport so that people can flee in safety from the war-torn 20-year fiasco that we can't compare to Vietnam. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is beyond imagination, but this is the lens I maintain. This is the lens that the mainstream press put us through for the last 20 years. Yeah, got them friendly death chanting folks hanging out. Maybe we ought to just go over there and see if they've got some Kool-Aid for us, you know? We can all drink Kool-Aid together. I mean, this Clarissa lady is off her rocker. And no one, is anybody calling for her resignation? Is anybody really calling for the resignation from CNN and Clarissa Ward? Or are they just going, oh, that was a goofy statement. So she can literally say the Taliban chanting death to America, they're friendly at the same time. But yet anybody who goes to the United States Capitol and says, hey, I want accountability here. I need accountability on vote fraud. They're the vote fraud folks, the insurrectionists, right? Now, she claims to explain the life inside the, what, Afghanistan? I mean, this is just too hard to even discuss. She's a nut. She has no idea what she's talking about. Either she's a propagandist for the Taliban under the guise of working for CNN, or what is she? All right. Anyway, it's just shocking. All right. Trump calls for President Biden's resignation over the situation in Afghanistan. And I would agree. There's plenty of reasons that Biden should, you know, resign. But they say not only is it the situation in Afghanistan, but it's also the border crisis. It's also the tremendous surge in COVID-19 cases. It's time for Joe Biden to resign in disgrace for what he's allowed to have happen. The destruction of energy independence, the crippled economy, and more, says Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem with Donald. He said it shouldn't be a big deal because he wasn't elected legitimately in the first place. And then the mainstream press gets a chance to swipe Donald Trump saying, hey, you know what? You haven't proven vote fraud or anything else. I get it. And I think it's tragic, no doubt. But I believe there is vote fraud. And I believe Mike Lindell got snookered as a, I don't even know what word to call it, but a red herring, a way to then say, oh, vote fraud's not real. It's all bogus. Look at Mike Lindell. He failed and went down. We warned you this. Me and Cliff Kincaid and others warned about this, saying, you know what? This was coming down. But the legitimate vote fraud claims, the core of the claims, the manipulating of ballots, the changing of laws, using COVID as the excuse ahead of time, all these different things are the core, right? All these different things coalesce, and there is vote fraud without a doubt. Even though they want to debunk that reality check. Hang tight, I'm Sam Bushman. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated radio program.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
When President Obama released five Taliban commanders from the Guantanamo Bay prison in exchange for an American deserter in 2014, Obama assured Americans that dangerous enemy combatants would be transferred to Qatar and kept from causing any trouble in Afghanistan. Karula Kerkwa is the man leading the Taliban in Afghanistan's takeover, one of the five men released by Obama. Florida is seeing an uptick in COVID-19 cases. Dan Naraki explains.
Thousands of students in one Tampa area school district are in isolation or quarantine after testing positive for COVID-19 or being labeled a close contact of someone who did. The Hillsborough County Public School District said Monday that 5,600 students and 316 employees of the district were in isolation or quarantine. The district's school board will hold an emergency session on Wednesday to discuss the best ways to mitigate the spread of the virus. The outbreak there coming as the state of Florida continues to see an uptick in reported cases, averaging more than 21,000. New infections per day over the last 7 days.
USA Radio News.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM 197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
Return to the office hesitancy is a thing these days. Employers are not getting the message out due to the chance American leadership could drop us back into lockdowns. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau has more.
Some workers are still waiting to hear whether they'll return to the office amid a surge in coronavirus cases. A recent LinkedIn survey of nearly 3,000 workers found 36% still haven't heard whether they'll return or stay home. The latest COVID surge has already led some big companies to delay their return to the office. Amazon's corporate employees in the United States won't have to come back until early January, while Wells Fargo is giving its employees two more months to work from home. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Monterey Car Week's annual auction returned to California over the weekend. A 1995 McLaren F1 sold for a record-setting $20.5 million on Friday night at Gooding & Company's Pebble Beach Auctions. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Trump calls for Biden to resign over Afghanistan and over the fiascos for COVID, over the economy, over everything else under the sun. And I totally get that. At the same time, you know, they all said Trump should resign over everything under the sun, too. So that's not going to go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Also, quickly in the recap of yesterday's program, we talked about Loyola University in Chicago has more than 17,000 students. The university there wanted to say you can't even come on campus, much less attend school if you don't have your vaccinations. It's a disgrace. And the Loyola students objected based on the fetal line slash abortion connection, since each of the three vaccine injections, Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, were either produced or tested using fetal cell lines, and currently J&J's vaccination right now has aborted fetal cell lines in their deployed shots right now. So the university students are saying, man, you know what? Being complicit with this is just unacceptable. It's against our moral code. It's sinning for us to back these fetal lines and this abortion tie to the vaccinations. And we cannot be vaccinated. It compromises our pro-life stance. Well, anyway, the university doubled down, violated the students' rights, violated the law on the state level and the federal level as well. Thank heavens for Matt Staver and crew. Pushed back. Changed the game. But as Dr. Scott Bradley and I pointed out yesterday on the radio as well, you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate the win. But man, you know what? We've got to get bigger wins than this. We need to hold these people accountable. We also talked about look out for H.R. 4980. That is a bill to direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that anybody traveling on a flight that originates or terminates in the United States is vaccinated. Now, it's a bill that's in the United States House right now. Whacked out bill, I might add. Thank heavens it has no co-sponsors. But I'm telling you right now to look out and be aware of for H.R. 4980. I mean, it is a tyrannical bill like you would not believe. All right, without further ado, you know what? I've had a bunch of interviews from Freedom Fest that we've been playing back. And I wanted to save the best for last. I really did. This is something that's really important. The Epoch Times is one of the premier newspapers in America. They've done such a phenomenal job for so long that it's shocking how good of a job they're doing. And I didn't really know too much about the Epoch Times. I mean, I've researched them and I've seen their news articles and I've known they've done a great job for a while. But man, to learn about them more in detail and to learn about their origins and their history and their reporting and who they are and what they do and how they do it is just impressive, to say the least. So when I was at Freedom Fest, I was able to get with Joshua Phillip, award-winning investigative journalist and reporter. He's also the host of Crossroads for the Epoch Times. Anyway, great stuff from Epoch Times. Here is the interview with Josh Phillip. All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live reporting for freedomfest.com. I'm telling you, it's Friday the 23rd. We're having a fantastic time. People are everywhere. Seminars, breakout sessions going on. Booths have people running around. I mean, it's just a Freedom Fest of all time in South Dakota. If you want to learn more, freedomfest.com. If you want to sign up for the streaming option, if you missed it, you can do that. And I think a lot of the interviews and breakout sessions and speakers coming off the stage, details and all available if you get the streaming option. So check that out if you would, please. I'm live with LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. And with me today, Joshua Phillip. He's an award-winning journalist. He's an investigative reporter and more. He's the host of Crossroads. That's the Epoch Times broadcast. And he works for the Epoch Times as what, a senior editor investigator?
Senior investigative reporter.
Senior investigative reporter. All right, because you guys dig deep and do the real investigations, which most folks don't do anymore, huh, sir?
It's unfortunate, but, you know, it leaves the playing field fairly open. That's a good thing in some ways, I guess.
Now, tell me how you got that position, what you've done kind of prior to this.
It was actually totally accidental. I've been working with Epoch Times since 2006. And 2008, I went there for a summer internship. You know, I was a little bright-eyed, you know, college kid at the time. And long story short, I accidentally uncovered one of the Chinese Communist Party's main spy operations, which was the United Front Work Department. And that led me into investigating not just the Chinese Communist Party and Chinese spies, but also local corrupt politicians, the Chinese mafia, and what they call tongs, which are fraternal organizations that the CCP uses as basically arms to expand its power into foreign countries.
Now, tell me about that, because Joe Biden's kind of with Hunter a little bit at the center of some of that, right?
Well, basically what Hunter went through would be a very classic example of what an operation like that would look like. And, you know, basically what the United Front is it's the Chinese Communist Party's method of subverting foreign communities, especially when it comes to gaining control of the elites of different countries. And the thinking is like this. If you can control the journalists, you can control the people in entertainment, you can control the think tanks, you can control the scientists, the professors, the politicians,
you control the country. Telling story arm is controlled.
You control the country, essentially. You control the politics. You know, if you control the think tanks, you control the policy. If you control the politicians, you control the government messaging and the sanctions and all that. If you control the staffers, you can influence the politicians. If you control the media, you control the population. If you control entertainment, you control the culture. And so they work on all these things.
So what did you do before the Epoch Times then?
I was just a student. I mean, so a student, that's all. I've been there since 2006, so this has been my whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the Epoch Times has an interesting kind of a story to tell, too, about being censored and controlled, and it was kind of a bust out. We're going to, you know what, we're going to solve this once and for all stand. That's how the Epoch Times kind of came into being, right?
Epoch Times actually started in 2000, and it was by a group of Chinese Americans who basically wanted to create a media that could not be censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Initially, it was going to be a media for like Chinatowns and things like that, and Hong Kong. And, you know, we were blacklisted in mainland China from the get-go, of course. We actually did have some reporters there who were working under, you know, kind of underground, but every one of them was arrested.
That's what I mean, though, by they kind of came out of this tyranny, this communist agenda, with their eyes wide open, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could see Epoch Times as being founded on the idea of exposing communist disinformation.
Now, am I pronouncing it right when I say Epoch Times?
Yeah, so technically, a few pronunciations are correct. Epoch Times is also correct. If you're an American, Epoch Times, technically. If you're British or Canadian, Epoch, but sometimes people say Epoch anyway. So.
What if you're Chinese?
Yeah, you say Epoch.
All right, there you go. So you've learned a lot in the last, you've been with them since 2008, so 12 years, right?
Yeah, longer.
Tell me about the journey a little bit. What have you learned?
Well, you know, for me, a lot of my journey has been really exposing the Chinese Communist Party system for subversion. And so, it began with me really digging into their whole systems of the United Front, spying, controlling elites. That led me into a broader research on what you call unrestricted warfare. Basically, the Chinese Communist Party's system of waging war through unconventional means. Business warfare, economic warfare, culture warfare, drug warfare. I mean, you name it. They have a name for pretty much every part of society. And the thinking with this is actually very simple. It's what would you want to achieve if you were to wage war in another country? What would you want to get out of it? How can you achieve those same goals through non-military means? And as the Communist Party, a system that basically controls every single part of the country, from foreign investment to businesses to students, they can use every single part of the country as if they were soldiers for an unconventional war.
And they've learned that since it's about information, it's about positioning, it's about compromise, it's about all these things, they've learned how to do it without the hard crackdowns of yesteryear, huh?
Now they still have the hard crackdowns of yesteryear, too. I mean, you have 70 to 100 million people who practice Falun Gong, live organ harvesting, re-education through labor, torture, genocide. You have the Muslim Uyghurs, slave labor, torture, genocide, live organ harvesting. 100 million house Christians persecuted. Tibetans persecuted. Inner Mongolians persecuted. What they just did to Hong Kong was terrible. The nature of the CCP hasn't changed at all. The difference is that the media is eating out of its hand, and so you don't hear much about it.
How much control do they have over America?
I would say a frightening amount of control. I would say if people knew the amount of control, they would feel sick to their stomachs.
What do we do, sir?
Well, you expose it is one thing. I didn't really see a whole lot of hope with it until Trump came into play, and he started sanctioning them and going after Chinese spies working out of universities and compromised academics and businesses that were, you know, the Chinese companies in the stock market, just to give one example, they can't be audited. They can say whatever they want on the books. They can say, oh, we had 10% growth last year and every year for the past 15 years. Look at this. You should invest in our company. They're stealing your money. Right, they don't have it to back it, but the CCP prevents the audits to have them investigated. The few times they have been investigated, you find the whole thing was a big Ponzi scheme.
And the CCP stands for Chinese Communist Party.
That is correct.
And they got the U.S. Communist Party too going on.
Yeah, I think we have a few of them now. Yeah,
are they in link blatantly directly?
Actually, yes, they are. So several of them work very close. Several of them have close ties to the Communist Party of China. You could say. BLM has close ties to the Communist Party of China, Democratic Socialists of America.
It's not only BLM, it's all the way through to the NBA.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing we've seen is that the CCP can exert control over a lot of institutions by control of basically money. And the way it worked was this.
It's control of money, but it's also control of narrative, isn't it?
Yes, that's true as well. They control the narratives, they control the finances. You know, and they saw that there's a lot of material interest in the United States, and they realized that for them could be a system of control. And so they can, for example, get foreign investors here in the U.S. to invest in China. And, you know, if the individuals want to speak out against the CCP, they can slap their hands right down and tell them, no, you get in line. You defend our, you know, slave labor and human rights abuses, or your money's gone. And you see a lot of these big businesses going along with it.
What about these sister city programs and everything else that on the surface seem innocent enough, right?
That's
part of it, isn't it?
Anything like that would be a vehicle for the CCP to use. They would not have anything like that that they cannot use strategically to advance their interests.
How do we expose them? I know the Epoch Times is doing a great job at everything else, but the average American still isn't aware. So we've got our sphere of influence where people are, you know, kind of watching what we do, and talk shows like mine and shows like yours and Epoch Times. We're all doing a great job. I'm not downing any of our efforts, but we can't get the word out enough, can we?
Well, it's one of the biggest issues in the world right now. And I actually think that it's become one of the bigger topics. I think especially the virus made it a big topic when people watched how the CCP lied to the World Health Organization and lied to the whole world through it. How they seeded the virus to every part of the world by restricting travel within China but allowing it outside of China. How they manufactured the model for the mask mandates and the lockdowns, and how they lied to the world again through the World Health Organization to make it seem like that worked. And then in addition to that, launched what they call wolf warrior diplomacy, this really hostile form of diplomacy that really actually had the opposite effect. You saw a lot of countries, Australia, Japan, India, really take a harder stance against the CCP.
All right. Tell me about your Crossroads show.
So Crossroads is the show I do for Epoch Times, and it's an analysis and investigation show. So I do three live shows a week, which is news analysis and investigation.
And
news
video,
analysis.
Right?
Video, yep.
Yep.
And then I do documentaries as well. And so last year, for example, I did this documentary investigating the origin of the Wuhan coronavirus. And that had over 100 million views before Facebook decided people shouldn't be able to see it. And, you know, really we dug into the possible origin of the virus, and almost everything we reported now has been proven true.
And what do we do now that it's proven true?
Well, now we press our governments.
Because they're really ready to mask us and vax us and everything else, right?
Well, yeah, they're saying now if you know, not enough people get the vaccines, you might get the lockdowns again. So they are pushing for this. And, you know, the reality is I think it was deeply politicized. You know, I think the virus is real personally, but I think it was deeply politicized, and people saw that there's, you know, as the CCP would say, in crisis, there's opportunity.
Yes. Well, the flu's real too, but it hasn't melted down our society.
Well, it seems like a kind of a bad flu is what it is, it seems.
All right. Where do we go from here with the Epoch Times? I think it's going to grow. I think more people are kind of understanding and gaining ground all the time. But, man, we got a lot of, you know, need to kind of help people understand. They say, hey, you have kind of overcome the tech censorship as a people. That's why you're here. But now you can sign up for free and get involved in the polls to know what's going on in America. Is the Epoch Times pretty much just what do you want to call it, a worldwide freedom view but pitched to Americans, or is it worldwide or what?
Epoch Times is, I believe, like 33 countries, 23 languages, I think even more now, as a matter of fact. We just launched a newspaper in Germany. We were there before. We have a big publication in Israel. We have Arabic. We're in Japan. We're in Korea. We're in France. We're big in the UK, all through Latin America. We have a big Brazilian edition. Epoch Times is pretty much everywhere. I think in the U.S. we're fairly popular, and a lot of other countries are fairly popular as well.
So what does it mean for the future then? How do we prevent Epoch Times from getting censored? At some point, they're going to really try to crack down on that too, right?
Well, there's some good news on that. It is that they've already censored us in almost every way they possibly can, and it doesn't work. So, you know, we've built a very resilient business model based on subscriptions.
So one is funding. We got that squared away. What about them controlling the internet? They got those shut-off switches and stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, we're working on some stuff. Put it that way.
I bring that up because Donald Trump's trying to work on stuff. There's a lot of people that are working on things. Ben Swan, along with other people, have been working on some stuff. The radio network that I run, I own, and we built ourselves. We don't depend on a lot of the funding from Google or anything else, so we haven't been really censored near like other people. But it's an epic cat and mouse battle kind of a thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, let's put it this way. I think everybody's realizing that after what happened to Parler, after the elections, that they can destroy any business on a whim if they want to, if you're using their systems. And so I think any liberty-minded people with the ability to do so has been looking into building their own systems to make sure that doesn't happen. And I think as that happens, as that is built, you know, from a free market standpoint, that's a huge business opportunity.
For sure.
Because, you know, who wants to be on the system that can kill your business overnight over some political issue?
For sure. I've been telling people since 96 to build their own networks and their own systems and everything else. I did that with the Liberty News Radio and Loving Liberty Networks that we're involved in and stuff. Are people really building enough on the video side?
It's coming up, I would say. You know, we just launched Epic TV, and so that's our new video platform, which is uncensored, using our own technologies, using our own system.
Is that do I go to Epic Times for that, or do I go to Epic TV?
You can go to the Epic Times website for that, but it's also at epochtv.com.
Okay. And you say that that way because it helps you spell it.
Yeah, I'm saying for spelling, yeah.
Understood.
Just and to confuse people, you know.
What is your show going to continue and get more daily? What's the plans?
Yeah, so we're also on cable. We have a sister media, NTD, and so they run a lot of our programming as well. We're on, you know, geez, more than 25 million homes now. We're broadcast on Sky News in the UK. A lot of different cable broadcasters carry us.
So China's a key investigation in the compromising that's been going on around the world with the CCP and others. I know that the, you know, Wuhan, whatever, virus and all that, big kind of discussions and everything else. What are the other investigative pieces you guys are going to be working on and coming out with? What are their hot topics? Vote fraud's one of them, right?
We've been covering that pretty extensively. In fact, I did a documentary about that soon after the elections, which had a pretty big impact, I believe. We've been ongoing on that. We broke a lot of the stories when it came to Spygate, a.k.a. Crossfire Hurricane. Going forward, we actually just launched a new initiative, which is our Defending America initiative, kind of our answer to the New York Times' 1619 project. But really, the difference is ours is based on fact, where theirs is based on fantasy. And so trying to set the record straight on all this.
What's it going to be called?
Defending America.
So I want to look for Defending America, Epic Times, to get kind of the details on that coming up.
Yep, and if you go to our website, theepictimes.com, we have a big banner at the top so you can find what we're doing with it.
All right, what else? Anything else?
Ongoing battle, and we're launching a couple magazines, just launched our TV network, and pushing forward to expand the print newspapers in different countries and across the United States.
Where do you live?
Currently New York.
Yeah. Whoa. You got to live there to work for them or no?
Unfortunately.
I was going to say go west, young man.
believe me, my heart is west.
Do you have to travel across the country and the world?
I travel pretty much half of every month lately.
All right, because traveling is getting less fun too, right?
No, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. You know, let's put it this way. You know, when you're in New York, the greatest thing about New York is every other place in the world looks better.
All right. Think Donald's going to be president again?
I personally do. Yes.
You do?
I think the voting reform taking place across the U.S., the number of states that have put voting reform in, the audits especially, the very likely case that the Democrats are going to lose control, least of the House.
In 22.
I think 22, they're going to lose control of the House. I think Trump has a serious chance of getting back in.
Does he become Speaker of the House and then get back in that way, or does he wait and somebody else does that on his behalf? How do you think it unfolds?
I mean, it'd be a funny move if he did. I think he's planning for 2024. He's just not saying it because because of campaign finance laws, he can't announce it yet. And so he's kind of beating around
the bush. Well, he's a whole lot more flexible and can do more he wants if he doesn't announce yet, right?
Well, you know, in a funny way, he's almost more effective right now where he's at because, you know, from the executive level, being the president, he was able to affect things on the policy level, but because people were blocking him and stuff like that, he put a lot of judges in. He changed the culture, I think, of this country politically. Really, he created a new party. The Republican Party now is not the Bush Republican Party. They're a different party. Technically, Trump turned the Republican Party into like the Tea Party.
Yeah, that's what it is now. Run.
And now you're having him hit things from the grassroots, which is actually where the Democrats, I mean, not even Democrats, like Democratic Socialists of America typically ran things. And so that grassroots activist standpoint, Republicans and conservatives and libertarians, they don't get involved in that. And so this is the new phenomenon, that they are getting involved in that. And Trump is affecting things now from that level of society, which I think, you know, we've only been a year into and already I think you see the momentum of it. I give it a couple years. I think this is going to really change the fabric of this country.
Are you going to be attending the Mike Lindell document party?
Oh, is that tonight?
No. It's Mike Lindell in August is supposed to meet with everybody in South Dakota. Not here, but at, what's that other city? Anyway, one of the other cities in South Dakota, and he's going to be having an evidence where he's going to lay out all the evidence of vote fraud that he has and the proof of using the digital footprints of routers and details. They've tracked all the packets, and they can prove where they came from, and they prove that it was all ran through the Chinese communists and stuff like this. Mike Lindell says he's willing to give $5 million to those who can prove him wrong, prove it false.
Yeah,
he's supposed to have a big event about it.
Well, you know, I'm on good terms with Mike, and I follow his stuff. He does some interesting work, and it's interesting watching the, you know, I mean, on the grassroots note, that a guy who sells pillows is like leading this cultural movement in this country, basically.
You know? It's fascinating, but you know what? If nobody else will, why not, right?
Yeah. But you know, that's the spirit of things right now. I think this is, I think that's emblematic of where America is right now. That, you know, your plumber and your local construction guy are becoming like activists and stuff like this. You know?
All right, I know you're a busy guy and you got to fly. One final, do you have a comment to the world? What would you say if you could tell the world anything? What would it be?
I would say that I think, you know, I think the conflict we see in the United States is not just a U.S. issue. This is a global issue. And frankly, a lot of the same methods being used in the U.S., racial divisions and so on, are being used everywhere. In Latin America and Brazil, I have friends telling me they're doing the same thing there. Because you have black Brazilians, you have, you know, Native American Brazilians, you have European Brazilians. It's the same thing. And understanding, I think, the global landscape helps give a lot of clarity with this. This is a battle between freedom and socialism.
And you're saying freedom's popular.
Freedom is more popular, I'd say.
Amen to that. Joshua Phillip, thank you so much. Award-winning investigative reporter for Epoch Times and host of Crossroads, their award-winning broadcast. Thank you for your time, sir.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
EpochTimes.com. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Incredible interview with Josh of the Epoch Times. The EpochTimes.com, one of the premier magazines, newspapers, organizations, whatever you want to say, news distribution outlets in the world today, cutting their teeth on jettisoning communism, understanding who the Communist Party really is, and that the Communist Party has multiple faces, even in the United States today. What a disgrace it is. But our prayers are with the Epoch Times, and what an incredible interview. Josh doing a great job, and we're grateful for him and his involvement there. The other last point that I want to make before the end of the hour here, we're about out of time. They've got this Tesla, what do they call it, autopilot investigation going on. Hey, you know, when you put your car in autopilot, the thing crashes, it kills people, it's not really good, and we're going to investigate. And can I just be blunt with these people from an IT point of view? I'm an IT guy for a living, right? You know what? You don't need a big old investigation. When you put a computer in charge, computers don't understand risk-reward analysis like humans do. Okay, they don't have that fundamental pro-life understanding. They don't have that desire to, you know what, proceed with caution. Okay, what it does is it analyzes and says, hey, all's cool that I see, all's cool that I know, proceed. And computers are great at that kind of procedure. But if you think that a computer's ever going to have the internal compass of a human, of a person who thinks through things and says, listen, that's too risky, I'm not doing that. I care about life. Let's be careful here. Okay, you got a gut sense in your human body. Some call it the light of Christ. Some call it the Holy Ghost. Some call it the Spirit of God. Some call it, you know, karma. Whatever word you want to use to describe this, ladies and gentlemen, it exists in people. And that sixth sense, if you will, that conscience, that intuition of a human, cannot be replaced by a computer and never will be. So I appreciate automated vehicles in certain circumstances, but ladies and gentlemen, let's not pretend we're ready for prime time, because Elon Musk might be a smart guy, but he ain't that smart, ladies and gentlemen. Proof is in the pudding. Just thought I'd sound off on that one. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk. I am Sam Bushman. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated radio program. Spread the word, tell your neighbor, live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. LovingLiberty.net for the Android and the iPhone apps. They're free. If you want to donate, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Every penny will help us promote our presence in the media. I am Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.